Heat wave is over, but those storms last night did damage. The holiday weekend not looking great. Unspeakable grief in Brick as a community comes together to mourn the tragic death of a freshman student. Wilding teens at Pier Village coming in by train from North Jersey. I'll have the latest, and let's talk about what can and should be done. That is coming up on the morning show for this Thursday, May 21st. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is off visiting family in London. Jen Ursillo has your news updates. Jill Meyer with traffic every 15 minutes. Board Op Kathy and producer Thomas are behind the scenes. Chief meteorologist Dan Zero is here. And Dan, I would imagine you're not a very popular weatherman these days.
Well, it's been hot and then it was stormy. And now we're looking ahead to the Memorial Day weekend. And that's not looking so great either.
We're going to try to make the best of it.
Yes.
What can people reasonably expect for the weekend? Are we going to get any breaks?
You want to go day by day?
Yeah, let's go day by day.
So Saturday is the worst of it. Okay. Saturday, I mean, it could be a washout. It's going to be steady, if not heavy rain that picks up starting tomorrow night and then throughout the day on Saturday. On top of that, it is just going to be miserably cool. Now, let's remember, the past few days, we were in the 90s, very close to 100 degrees.
Yep.
Saturday's high is like 50.
Wow.
It's truly jacket weather. That is such a huge swing to have within just a couple of days. It is just not going to be a nice day. We could see a couple inches of rain. We really need it. I just wish it weren't happening over the Memorial Day weekend. That rain is going to continue through Sunday morning. But once we get to lunchtime on Sunday, I think we start to transition and trend drier. So Sunday afternoon, I think I like a drier forecast. It's still going to be cloudy. It's still going to be cool, like lower 50s. But, you know, if we start kicking out the rain, that is an improvement. The best day of the three this holiday weekend is going to be Memorial Day Monday. Still lots of clouds, still a chance of a shower, but as highs improve to the 60s, at least we can go outside and not shiver.
Yeah.
You know, it's not exactly beach and pool weather, but we're not getting soaked. It's not, you know, freezing cold. You could probably get rid of the jacket for a bit.
So if you got your house down the shore for Memorial Day week, that means you're probably checking in Sunday.
Yeah.
And then you have till the following Sunday if you've got a week rental. Is there hope moving into next week if you've got that house down the shore? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Tuesday will be in the 70s. Wednesday will be in the 80s. Once we get past the Memorial Day weekend, things warm right back up again. It's just the holiday weekend that stinks.
All right. Well,
Mother Nature is just playing a cruel joke on us.
But you know what I always do? I always get paranoid because you talk all the time about, you know, having those cycles you know, when you get rain and when you have sun. And if it starts out on a weekend, does that mean that every weekend's a washout in the summertime?
It always seems like we get rain every 6 days or so. And so when we set it up in the summer, I don't see that kind of thing setting up just yet.
Okay.
You know, we've been so dry that there's no cyclical thing setting up yet. So I wouldn't worry about that, but I'll let you know if I do see that, and then we can all cry together.
That's our chief meteorologist, Dan Zero. He will keep you updated all through the rest of this week and through the weekend. Let's check into the newsroom. I want to talk to Dan Alexander because we did have some storm damage as a result of those storms that came through with that cold front last night. Dan, what are you seeing across the board here this morning?
Yeah, so the storm, the cold front came through fast and furious last night. A lot of heavy thunderstorms. At one point last night, there was over 20,000 customers between JCP&L and PSE&G and Atlantic City Electric. Crews got to work overnight, and they brought that number down to around 2,000 customers as of this morning. So a lot of improvements over light. You know, they're able to reroute some of the wires and some of the lines and such, but they've made a lot of progress overnight. On the bad side, however, is the flight delays coming out of Newark because there were ground stops put into place, so planes couldn't get to where they needed to get to for this morning. So we're looking at probably at least 24 canceled flights in and out of Newark and a lot of delayed flights as well.
All right, that is Dan Alexander. He is in the newsroom keeping an eye on that stuff for you. I have to say, you know, we're keeping a very optimistic view of this weekend. And yeah, I know Saturday's probably going to be a washout, as Dan mentioned, but I think overall we've got the right plan. We're just going to hunker down for the weekend, get outside when we can, but I'm going to cook all weekend. I'm going to treat it almost like a snowstorm. like we got snowed in. We'll get an update of weather and traffic. Jill is going to have a look at your early morning commute. Dan with another update on the weather. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about this tragedy in Brick. And it's I don't even know what to say about it. If you're a Brick resident, if you were at that memorial last night, or you know the families, or you are connected to this family, I can't imagine the loss of a child. 1-800-283-1015. I'd love to hear from you this morning. It is 6:15 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Windows down, opinions up. New Jersey's talking all day. Call 1-800-283-1015 to join the conversation. New Jersey 101.5.
There you go. 6:22 now on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. We've been in contact with Bill Spadia, by the way. He did not take off last night. He is stranded at Newark Airport. We were going to try to get him to call in and give us the scene at the airport, because we heard from Dan Alexander that there have been a lot of cancellations and delays and a total ground stop there at one point, but he's on hold with United Airlines. Good luck with that, Bill, because, anybody who's had to deal with United Airlines, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. So hopefully maybe before they board to take off later this morning, we'll have a chance to check in. A 15-year-old freshman riding his bike to school killed in a horrific crash in Brick. Prosecutors say it was a teenage driver of a BMW that hit and killed him and then took off instead of calling for help. There is tragedy all around in this story. There was a vigil last night. They actually moved it from a park, I believe, to the high school to be able to accommodate. I think the entire town came out. I cannot imagine the family. And I can't imagine just the grief in the entire town with a young life cut short and another young life, by the way, that has also been destroyed. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. It's uncomfortable, but there are two families that are involved here. Vinny in Brick, you're on New Jersey 101.5. Vinny, what's the mood like in Brick?
Good morning, Mr. Scott. Thank you for taking my call. It's definitely a somber mood. I've lived in Brick for about, since I retired from the Navy. I'm a 20-year Navy vet.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, it was my honor. I retired in 2005, and I've been in Brick ever since. And, the mood is very somber. When it happened, the road was closed. A lot of kids didn't go to school, because they were, in shock of what happened. And one thing I have to say about Brick is it's a community, and people did get together. There's at least 3 GoFundMes that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the Bricktown Soccer Board. We're going to donate some money. The Republican Club, I'm sure, is going to buck up. I'm on that, as well as the American Legion. It's unbelievable. I have a little story. My son is a brain cancer survivor, and we lived in Brick, and he was sick. And the whole town, it reminds me of that. The whole town came together, GoFundMes. There was a lot of soccer involved, bowling, the Brickham High School football team, all kinds of awareness and fundraisers, and helped us get through it. And I'm thinking that I'm getting a little emotional now. It reminds me of that. And I think Brick coming together now is going to help this family get through it. And you're absolutely right. There's two lives gone. The poor kid that, tragically died, and the person that hit him. Their lives will never be the same.
Well, one life lost and another life changed. Your son is good. Your son is healthy now?
Yes, sir. He was sick. He was diagnosed at 8 years old. Pretty much all finished by, with all the surgery and chemo and radiation by 2012. And now he's going to junior at Montclair.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Yeah. So Brick was a great community. They came together and we're somber, but we're strong.
I love to hear that, Vinny, and around a tragedy, it's sad that it takes something like this, a tragedy, to really bring communities together. But you could see it, the social media videos that were posted of the crowd showing up at Brick Memorial High School last night, the lines of cars waiting to get in. the students, you know, weeping as they were coming onto campus, it just underscores, you know, that you never know. I mean, your whole life can change in a blink. And I'm so heartened to hear that folks are coming together. Are you a BRIC resident? Do you know any of the families that are involved here? Were you at that memorial last night? What does this mean for your town? 1-800-283-1015. I would love to talk to you about this. And look, I don't know this young man. I don't know this 15-year-old. I've only heard stories. And if you know the family, or you know him, or you know about your community in BRIC, do me a favor and give me a call and share it. And when we come back from an update of news, weather, and traffic, I do want to talk about the other life that is involved here. Because this is a tragedy all around. And I'm going to caution everybody to a rush to judgment. We'll get you updated with the latest details that we have. And then let's talk about that aspect of this as well. And you can check out our story at NJ1015.com if you want the main GoFundMe page. Despite the weather, a lot of people are going to travel over the holiday weekend. Jen has that, and then more with you. It's 627 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. 638 on New Jersey 101.5. Thursday morning, Friday Eve in the Great Garden State. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is waiting in the airport, supposed to take off last night. So we're getting in a bunch of information. I've texted with him. I haven't talked. And this is typical of guys talking to one another about nothing because you get no details. Sandra says all the time, you know, what did you guys talk about? Nothing. So what Bill and I were talking about had nothing to do with the delays. Kathy, you talked to him, right? Or at least texted him. You got the deets on this thing?
I can read you his text. We got to the airport on time. His flight was supposed to leave last night, right?
At 8, right?
At 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Flight was delayed for an hour at a time for 5 hours. So that happened five times. They board the flight, taxied down the runway, sat on the plane for 3 hours, and then went back to the terminal.
Wow.
Now he says he's scheduled to leave at 8 a.m. But yeah, they did give him a $20 voucher.
$20 voucher. I was texting with him, and I said, hey, by the way, did they at least let you into the Polaris lounge? Because United has a really nice Polaris lounge there. And they have, like, even sleep pods, and they have hot food, and they have an open bar, and all that kind of stuff. He said the lounge closed at 10 and didn't reopen until 5. I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk to him. He's hoping to board at 7 o'clock, but we'll talk about that and your longest airline delays coming up. And another reason, and look, I know it's not necessarily, it's the weather's fault, right? But, I mean, two things that I hate the most about traveling is Newark Airport and United Airlines. And those two things came together in a huge way. All right, it is 6:39 on New Jersey 101.5. Good luck, Bill. I hope you have a safe flight and, you know, the delays are over. 15-year-old freshman riding his bike to school in BRIC killed in a horrific crash. Prosecutor says it was a teenage driver of a BMW that hit him and then left the scene. There has been an arrest made. And there was a vigil last night. They moved it to the high school because of the just huge outpouring of support for this family and mourning this life lost freshman way too soon. And we're talking to you about, if you're a BRIC resident, what's the mood in town? And do you know the families? And what are you feeling right now? Tragedies are a time to come together. We grieve together. We cry together. Perry in BRIC, you're on New Jersey 101.5. Perry, were you at the vigil last night?
Yes, I was.
And just walk me through it. I mean, it looked like there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people that showed up.
It was. There was a lot of people. It was pretty much what you expected. Now, thanks for taking my call. I'm a lifelong resident. I went to that school. I graduated in 1989. I saw a bunch of people that I knew. And what impressed me the most was the father was really strong. I mean, he was like the glue holding it all together. And again, yeah, the community, everybody came together. It's horrible. And as far as the other party, I feel hard. You know, the teenager that the call, you know, he was definitely wrong. I'm not defending him, but yeah. I mean, this kid's life is ruined too. I mean, yeah, he did a dumb thing, but who doesn't do dumb things? Of course, the other kid's life is lost. But I just think everyone should take a little easy on the kid that, you know, the accident that caused the accident.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Perry, and I'm glad that you brought it up. And as a lifelong resident of Brick, I can't even imagine in the community. And look, I've had some personal experience with this many years ago. My niece, my brother's daughter, was killed in a horrific car crash. Didn't involve anybody else. It was bad weather. Lost control of a car and hit a tree and left a young child behind. And I've watched this happen, and I watched the changes in my brother and in our family. And, you know, it is a level of grief that changes you. If you ever, there's an old saying, and I don't know where it comes from. One of the greatest tragedies is if a parent outlives a child. And, you know, the change that happens, it's a part of your soul, your heart, your mind. You're never the same after that. I mean, our family was never the same after that. Even all of these years later. And I just can't imagine what the community is going through. Now, this was in upstate New York. This was in Springville, which is the town that I grew up in. It's southeast of Buffalo in southern Erie County. And the entire town came together for the family. And it's a shame that it takes a tragedy sometimes for that to happen. But as the previous caller just mentioned, there are two lives involved here. One tragically lost, the freshman who was killed, but also the teen driver of this BMW. And I have seen so much hatred and vitriol directed at this child. You know, even the, oh, I guess you're driving a BMW, you know, all that stuff on social media. I mean, look, this is still a teenager. I don't know how old the driver was. There is some anecdotal evidence that he may have been a junior at that school. Because he's a juvenile, he will not be identified. There was video circulating online that appeared to show the vehicle after the crash. It was recorded from a nearby resident's window. It shows two young men documenting the damage to the vehicle before walking away. And presumably, the driver of the vehicle was one of those two individuals. The sedan had sustained heavy front-end damage. There was a large hole in the windshield. And I will admit, that is not a good look for the teen driver that has now been arrested and charged in this case. We may not even know what charges he is facing. You can speculate a little bit on that. If you are a police officer, I would love to hear your perspective of what the potential charges could be. But the Ocean County prosecutor, Brad Bilheimer, said the driver of the sedan did not stop, did not call police at the time of the crash, and he is being held in the Ocean County Jail on juvenile charges of knowingly leaving the scene of a motor vehicle crash resulting in death. Now, there was also some anecdotal evidence and some comments that were made, again, on social media. This hasn't been verified by the prosecutor, that one of the initial statements that the teen driver made was that he thought he hit a pole. I don't know how that is possible, but again, let's try to avoid a rush to judgment here in this case. If you're in Brick, are you a Brick resident? Were you at the memorial last night? How is the town feeling this morning? 1-800-283-101.5. We'll talk more about that after we get an update of weather and traffic. It is 6:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Spring days, hot topics. New Jersey's conversation lives here. New Jersey 101.5.
6:53 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Hey, if you are a farmer and you've been impacted by the frost that just devastated a lot of crops in New Jersey, I want to talk to you coming up after the 7 o'clock news. Also, an update on Tom Kane Jr., the Where's Waldo of New Jersey. But we're talking about Brick Memorial freshman Jackson Muller, 15 years old, killed biking to school. Driver of the sedan, also a teen that hit him, did not stop or call the police at the time of the crash. That is another life that has been ruined. And I think we all need to keep that in mind. Eric is on the turnpike and joining us on New Jersey 101.5. You think there's parental responsibility somewhere in here, Eric?
Yes, sir. Yes. This happened a few years back. Remember in East Windsor, the young girl was going to school? I believe it happened on Village Road and she killed the teacher.
I remember that.
She kept going because she was late for school.
Yep. I do remember that.
So I knew people back then in Windsor area, and there was a lot of talk about how the money got her out of it. I don't really know what happened, but this was really unfortunate. You know, and it just seems to keep happening and happening. I mean, parents are buying these kids cars. You know, they got 300, 400, 500 horsepower. They have no experience in what they're doing, and they're getting inside of these cars, and they're just running around. I mean, I see it every day. Yesterday, I was out in Totowa and Carlstadt, and I can tell you, well, there wasn't that many mishaps, but there was a few mishaps on 46 and 3.
You know, Eric, I think you're bringing up, and I don't mean to cut you short here, but I'm late for running into a break. You do bring up a very good point, and maybe that's something, let's get removed from this a little bit. Maybe we'll talk about that, what your first car was. I couldn't have gotten my first car past 50 miles an hour if I had stomped the accelerator through the floorboards because it was a piece of junk. So the point you make about getting kids cars that they don't know how to drive is not an invalid one. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Central Jersey Town is continuing its crackdown on dirt bikes and ATVs, another scourge of New Jersey. And then, will farmers be made whole for a frost and freeze that decimated crops? We'll talk about that coming up in 5 minutes on New Jersey 101.5, 655. Good morning.
Get set for an exciting Memorial Weekend on New Jersey 101.5. We're playing Jersey's biggest hits, all alphabetically from A to Z. It's pretty cool jamming the tunes in alphabetical order, and we're excited to have you join us. So sit back, relax, and rock out to the hits, the must-haves, and the killer classics. From ABC by the Jackson 5 to the final Z. We've got your weekend covered. Don't miss out on the ultimate A to Z playlist.
A to Z.
Only on New Jersey 101.5. Powered by Parks Casino, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Exit 6A off the New Jersey Turnpike. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Parks Casino, New Jersey. Chime time is 7:09 on a Thursday morning. We, of course, celebrate Friday Eve. And heading into a long holiday weekend, unfortunately, weather's not going to be great. What are your plans? What are you going to do if it's a rainout on Saturday? I'll tell you what Sandra and I have planned. I'm Eric Scott. Bill Spadia is off, and I understand has now boarded his plane. Delayed almost 12 hours. Actually, by the time he takes off, supposed to be somewhere around 8 o'clock this morning. He was supposed to take off 8 o'clock last night and was trapped at Newark Airport for 12 hours on a plane for 3 hours on the tarmac. I can't even imagine. I would lose my mind. I fortunately have never experienced that kind of a delay. Now, I know that I've just jinxed myself. But what do you do on a plane for 3 hours when you're just sitting on the tarmac? I can't even imagine. Lest we forget, New Jersey is the Garden State. And I know sometimes, depending on where you live or where you travel, it doesn't feel that way. But there are almost 10,000 active farms covering over 700,000 acres in an industry that generates more than $1 billion in economic activity. And about 78% of those 10,000 farms operate as family-owned farms. So it is still a huge industry in New Jersey. And the state is a top 10 national producer of several crops, including bell peppers, which I did not realize, cranberries, blueberries, peaches, I knew that, and also spinach. Those are our top cash crops in New Jersey. And look at that list for a second. Blueberries and peaches. And that's part of the crop that was devastated by a cold snap, freezing temperatures that we had between April 19th and April 22nd. And that came right after that weird heat wave that we had. So fruit trees, including peaches, and berry crops, including blueberries, were destroyed. Losses of 30% or more. There were some farms that said they are expecting a complete crop failure, which means nothing. They will have nothing. The blossoms on the fruit trees and the berry bushes were just forming when they were killed off. No blossoms, no fruit. So Governor Mikey Sherrill has declared a statewide emergency. They are estimating about $300 million in crop losses against an annual yield of about $1 billion. So that's almost a third of the entire industry's production has been wiped out. All 21 counties are affected by the disaster declaration. In her executive order, which if you're keeping track was executive order number 18, she described catastrophic agricultural losses. And the impact to this is well beyond just the farms. That could affect your local produce at your farm stands, your supply at your market. That could increase prices across the board. And state agencies will now coordinate emergency recovery efforts and provide some temporary regulatory flexibility to affected farms. What they're ultimately hoping for here is federal assistance as they continue to assess some of these damage. And hopefully farmers will get some relief. Now, it won't be as much as they would have expected if they had a bumper crop season. But, I mean, you know that in particular, Sandra's family has been involved in farming in South Jersey for generations. Her dad had a dairy farm in Burlington County. I've been around agriculture mostly my entire life, and I feel for these farmers. It is not an easy life or an easy living. And if you're a farmer, and I know you're probably busy working at this hour, but if you're a farmer, I'd love to hear from you. Did you lose crops? Have you lost crops in the past? What does that mean for you and your family? Because, you know, when you drive by your local farm stand and you see produce that's out there, that's somebody's blood, sweat, and tears that went into that field to produce that crop. You know, that old adage, no farmers, no food, that's true. And in New Jersey, it is especially true when it's a $1 billion industry. And yeah, a lot of farms have now moved to agritourism and other things to help support what they lose either through the crops. But, you know, it is an expensive proposition. And a lot of farmers will tell you, if I break even, that's a good year. And if I make a little bit of money, and pretty much everything that they are making season to season goes back into buying the supplies for the next season. So you can see how quickly somebody who has chosen the life of a farmer can get underwater. Would love to hear from you if you are a farmer in New Jersey, or you work on a farm, or you've been in the agriculture industry, because it is an industry. Also going to give an update on where's Waldo, Tom Kane Jr., and what the Republican leader in Congress had to say about it. It's 7:15 now on New Jersey 101.5. Traffic and weather coming up in 3 minutes.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
7:22 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is off until next Tuesday. You know, it was weird, Dan. Things got dark, I guess, around our house. 6 o'clock-ish. Does that sound
That timeline about right? Sounds right. Yeah, they rolled in fast and they rolled in fierce.
Well, what was weird about it is you often talk about this battle that you have between cold air masses and warm air masses. First of all, we had rolling thunder. I've never heard thunder go on as long as it went on last night. I mean, it wasn't like a big clap of thunder. It just rumbled and then it kept going and going and going and going. And as the storm came in, you would feel like there would be a breeze and it would be cold. And then there'd be a breeze and it would be warm.
Interesting. Okay, so that's before the storms came.
Yes, before the storms.
So what you were feeling there was inflow and outflow. So inflow is when the storm is sucking in air. So inflow is air, wind that's blowing toward the storm as it's building, as the storm is building, it's you know, literally pulling in warm, moist air toward the storm.
Okay.
So that's going to be the warm breeze. And then as a storm is coming closer and closer, heavy rain is falling, cooling the air and pushing air out ahead of it. And that's outflow. That's the cool breeze ahead of the storm. So usually first you feel the inflow, the warm breeze.
Yep.
And then the stronger one, you feel the outflow. And that's the really strong one. That's the one that does all the damage. We have all the trees and power lines that came down. So actually that absolutely falls in line with everything I learned in meteorology school back in the day.
It was the first time I had ever really noticed it, though. And you were right. I mean, fast and furious. It was because I was trying to get everything, you know, nailed down mm-hmm. at the tiki bar and on the deck and the patio and everything, because you were right. I mean, they were ferocious storms.
Yeah.
And I had just finished tying down an umbrella on the patio and went inside. And that was when the sky just opened up and
it
felt like
dark.
Got dark, but it felt like the raindrops were as big as a golf ball when they were hitting. I mean, it just poured out of the sky.
Sometimes it's really obvious when storms are going to be really strong like that, because you had the heat, that's the energy.
Yep.
You had intense humidity, so that's the moisture. And then you had a really strong cold front, and that's the spark, that's the lift. All the ingredients are there. You fancy yourself a home cook, you know, when all the ingredients are there for a recipe, you got to get cooking. And that's exactly what the atmosphere did yesterday. And we had those intense thunderstorms. It happens every spring and every summer here in New Jersey.
Yeah, we love to open the garage door and kind of stand, you know, in the middle of the garage and watch the storm outside. But it was, fortunately, we had the dogs out just before the rain hit.
That's
because
a good
time
to do that.
They weren't going outside for a while after that. And then everything was so green. After the storm, it was really nice. So we do need the rain. I get it. But you're still thinking probably for the weekend that Sunday afternoon and Monday will be salvageable.
Salvageable. It's not beach and pool weather, unfortunately, but that's your best bet at finding some dry weather, some time to go outside. Saturday is just not looking great. And it's not just a matter of the rain. I mean, an inch or two of rain, we really need it. I can't believe how cool it's going to be, especially after, you know, it was 99 degrees earlier this week. Some spots in the state could be 49 on Saturday. That temperature difference within the span of just a few days, it just blows my mind.
I told Sandra, I said, we're going to treat this like it's a winter storm. We're going to hunker down on Saturday. I'm going to cook all day. I went to the market yesterday and I got the ingredients to make a huge pot of French onion soup.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you got bread and milk. You're going to make some French toast, you know.
Yeah, actually, did I get milk? I don't even know if, you know what, I might have to go back to the store today. I don't know if I got milk. I got a turkey breast to do.
Oh, nice.
I got an eye round beef roast to do.
Ooh, man.
Sandra's going to make her mom's
Mr.
mushroom
Moneybag's
gravy.
Buying all the meat over here. Jeez.
Well, yeah, it's what was on sale. And so because it's only the two of us, but Alex will eat all the leftovers.
Yes.
So I'll do all of this meal prep and I'll slice everything up into, you know, bento boxes and things like that. He can pick up. And then we'll be able to eat off of it for the week as well. So that's my plan for Saturday, is just to treat it like we're getting a blizzard and to hunker down and just, you know, cook and drink wine all day.
Sounds like a plan. That sounds like a day. I love it.
Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero will keep you updated. Would you believe that the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, still knows nothing about New Jersey Congressman Tom Kane Jr., who has been missing for weeks with an undisclosed medical issue? What did Johnson have to say? I'll have that and your thoughts after we get an update of news, weather, and traffic with Jen. Some big changes are coming to New Jersey's weed dispensaries. Jen has that in 3 minutes, and then more with you on New Jersey 101.5, 727. Good morning. 738 on New Jersey 101.5, Thursday morning, Friday Eve, if you will. Bill is off to London. We understand he's boarded his plane. Should be taken off in the next 20 minutes or so. Love your comments on the app chat of how long you have had to wait on a plane. And sleeping in the airport. I have never had to do that. I've been delayed. Never had to sleep in the airport. I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I would feel safe. I mean, maybe if you were in one of the in the airport lounges. But even then, I don't know. That just... Ugh. So we wish him well. He will be back on Wednesday, next Wednesday. So we're all off on Monday for Memorial Day. I'll be here with you on Tuesday. And then Bill is back on Wednesday. 1-800-283-1015. All right. Tom Kane Jr. has become New Jersey's version of Where's Waldo? We know he is not in Congress. We also know he's not at home. But that's about all we know. And there is an unexplained medical issue that he is dealing with, according to his father, former Governor Tom Kane. Now you have House Speaker Mike Johnson, who said Wednesday he hasn't even spoken to Kane in several weeks and would offer only a vague timeline for his return to Washington. Here's what Johnson told reporters. We're expecting him back here soon. He's had a medical issue. He's going to be fully transparent and disclose all that. Really? When? And then he kind of walked back in, for a second. And said, I mean, that's what he told me, but I don't even know the details, and I have to respect that. Now, their last phone call together, the House Speaker and Congressman Tom Kane Jr., several weeks ago, and Johnson said at the time, Kane sounded good and optimistic. He also expected the two-term Republican lawmaker to remain on the ballot for the 7th Congressional District election this November. And, you know, on Jersey Thing last night, we talked to New Jersey Globe's David Wildstein about this, who has been calling, you know, if not every other day, certainly once a week, to try to get an update from Kane's staff. And there, it's dragged on so long at this point that they're starting to question whether the staff is really being honest. And in fact, you know, Bill made the comment earlier this week that maybe it's time for Kane to resign. And when his dad, the former Governor Kane, spoke to CNN and to the Star Ledger, he left the crack open a little bit. You know, you do this long enough, and in October it'll be 35 years for me. You do this long enough, and you start to read in between the lines. There are things that are said without being said. And former Governor Kane left the door open to the possibility that maybe his son will not be on the ballot in November. And Bill and I have talked about the possibility that maybe after the primary, that he might resign. Now, the other thing the elder Kane did say was that he's under doctor's care, multiple doctors, being treated for an illness away from home. Now, I don't know if that means that he's in the hospital somewhere, if he's receiving treatment out of state, if he's receiving treatment somewhere in New Jersey. Nobody knows. He's just basically vanished. But I think the people in the 7th District, who are essentially being represented by people they did not elect, meaning the congressman's staff, and that you're at 90-plus missed votes now, I think they're due an explanation. And Wildstein and I have debated this multiple times on a Jersey Thing, which airs from 6 to 7 p.m., on New Jersey 101.5, right after Dubinsky and Moore. We've about what are we entitled to know? And you do have a right to medical privacy. You do have a right to keep that part of your life private. But you do owe an explanation to your constituents, the people that elected you, as to why you are not able to do your job. And one of the things that Wildstein told me last night was he's got a couple of questions if and when Kane does resume his duties as a congressman. And even without getting into the specifics of the illness, is whatever you are suffering from or were suffering from, is it chronic? Is it something that could come back again? So could this happen again? And I think voters have a right to know that. And the second thing is what you were suffering from an illness that could impact your cognitive ability? Is it something that could impact your mental acuity? Without getting into specific details of what that illness was, I think those are legitimate questions. I think that's a legitimate, those are two legitimate questions that if he is going to run for re-election and is asking voters in the 7th District to send him back to Congress, those are two questions they're entitled to know. Could this happen again? Does it have an impact on your mental acuity? Are you mentally able to perform the job? If it's a physical disability or results in a physical disability, and again, I don't know that that's the case because I don't know what he has. And I wouldn't ask him that question because I do believe in medical privacy. But you can absolutely serve in Congress if you have a physical disability. If it doesn't impact your mental acuity and your ability to be able to process the information. So when are we going to get those answers? And the answer to that question is, I don't know. But certainly it doesn't appear to be anytime soon because there's no timeline. And I think that's part of the frustration. I mean, if the staff was able to come out and say, oh, he'll be back in 2 weeks. Soon is not an answer. It's very subjective. Because frankly, weeks ago when you said soon, you would have assumed that time period would have passed already. It's 7:45 on New Jersey 101.5. All right, there is some new information to share with you about these wilding teens and young adults at Pier Village. And then what should be done with them? Because this is starting to get ridiculous. And I'm going to tell you what I think should be done. To every one of those teens that was arrested or caught wilding in that town, after we get an update of weather and traffic, 1-800-283-101.5. What do you think? 7:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
From Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero's weather to traffic that explains what's happening, a powerful local newsroom and conversations you actually care about, New Jersey 101.5 keeps you informed, entertained, and connected all day long.
7:53 on New Jersey 101.5. All right, let me just wrap up this discussion on Tom Kane Jr. and what you're entitled to know and not know. And Scott and Millstone wrote on the app chat, and I think it's a really good comment, Scott. There is a distinct difference between explanation and detail. The public is due an explanation, but not detail, the same as anyone else. And that's exactly what I was trying to say, Scott. So thank you for crystallizing my thought on that. Explanation, yes. Detail, maybe no. And Celeste, you're on New Jersey 101.5. You got another good question that maybe he should have to answer when he comes back, if he comes back.
Absolutely. So whatever he is being treated for at the moment, what medications might he be taking? Are they going to affect him long-term, or is he potentially going to need to stay on medications that could affect him cognitively? And as I said initially, we don't need another Dianne Feinstein in the Senate. Everyone remembers when her staff had to tell her how to vote, and then I think it was 9 months later, she was not in the Senate, I think she had passed.
Well, I mean, Celeste, you know, I'm not going to go down that road because I don't think we're anywhere close, and that's not yet, at least I don't think so. But that is part of the problem. We don't know. All right, what do we do about wilding teens and young adults that are arrested down the shore, particularly teens? I'll tell you my solution that I think fixes this problem immediately. After we get an update of news, weather, and traffic with Jen coming up at the top of the hour, she's going to have the latest on the tragic death of a Brick Memorial High School freshman and last night's memorial, and then more on what went down at Pier Village and how to solve the problem on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Live personalities, local insights, and traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Stay connected with New Jersey 101.5.
So you know, New Jersey Chime Time is 8:09, Thursday morning in the Great Garden State. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is delayed again. So it is now more than 12 hours So he got on the flight to London at Newark Airport yesterday, last night, delayed on the runway for 3 hours, eventually returned to the terminal, boarded again at 7 o'clock this morning, now delayed again. So you're talking about probably 13-plus hours now. I cannot imagine being in an airport that long. And it's funny, Dirt Racer and Howell writes on the app chat, this is karma for Spadia. He's always bad-mouthing Newark Terminal A and United, and it's coming around to bite him in the butt. And LOL. So it was a good-spirited comment. Sorry, Bill. And we were going to try to have Bill on. He's like, I'm going to come on, but now we're supposed to be boarding, and now we're delayed, and I can't talk to you while I'm on the plane. And so it's, yeah, what a nightmare. And think about this, because what is that? A seven, eight-hour flight? So you're delayed 13 hours, and then a seven-hour flight on top of that. So now you're 20-plus hours at an airport or on a plane to get to your destination. Wow. You could fly almost to Australia for that amount of time. And you still haven't left Newark. So, you know, that, and that's kind of the worst part of it. What's funny is the longest delay I think we ever had was when we were waiting to fly home from Miami. We were at Miami International Airport. And same thing, big thunderstorms came rolling through. And just before we were scheduled to board. Now, I don't think we were delayed more than 5 hours. But you have to love Miami, where, you know, the majority of the people, certainly the workers, they speak Spanish. Or as a friend of mine, and I don't mean any offense if this is offensive. And if it is, please tell me. But what do they call it? Spanglish, right? So we're getting ready to board. And the woman at the gate makes the following announcement. De plane is a no here, and de ramp is a close to the letting you outside. De plane is a no here, and de ramp is a closed to the letting you outside. And Sandra and I just looked at each other, and we laughed. Everybody knew exactly what she meant, and we knew we were going to be sitting there for a while. And that was back in 2017. That was the last time we were delayed. And much like karma may have come to bite Bill, I think I probably jinxed myself with that. You ever been delayed, Kathy?
I have a good one. In high school, all the high schools would always take a trip to Florida. That was the standard trip. So our high school is at Philadelphia Airport. We were delayed for 12 hours. Ugh. Imagine 300 high school students in Philadelphia Airport. They moved us to the international terminal because they didn't want all the kids in the regular terminal. And we were having races with luggage carts. It was nuts.
I can only imagine. I mean, knowing my senior class, I could only imagine the trouble that we would have gotten into, you know, us hick country boys and girls, never out of the big, you know, never into the big city. That would be, oof. So anyway, keep a nice thought in your head for Bill, because he's got a very, very long day ahead of us. And Roseanne in Brick on the app chat said, could you please share your onion soup recipe? I will, Roseanne. If there's time in the show today, I will share it with you. It's very, very, very simple and very delicious. It is one of our absolute favorite things to make. And I will make a huge vat of it on Saturday. And then we'll freeze a bunch of it so that we have it for the rest of the week. It is 8:13 now on New Jersey 101.5. All right. You've heard this story in the news. More teens and young adults who descended on Pier Village last Tuesday. It prompted a massive police response from multiple towns, emergency notifications to startled residents. And the majority of them, these were not local teens and young adults. And in, I would say, the vast majority of cases, they never are. They arrived by train from North Jersey. The mayor had to implement an 8 p.m. curfew. There were a bunch of arrests. If you look at the video on social media and in the conversations that we've had with you I mean, they were running around. They were jumping on cars. Fights broke out. And we weren't even into the holiday weekend yet. And then you have multiple towns who've now hired police officers just to monitor social media to see about these pop-up parties and try to shut them down before they happen. But this is starting to become the norm. And do you blame the kids? Do you blame the parents? Do you blame both? And I think there's an easy solution to this problem. Do you think it's parenting? And what would you do? 1-800-283-101.5. I'll share with you what I think would solve this issue almost overnight, maybe literally overnight, after we get an update of weather and traffic in 3 minutes. It's 8:15 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Your news, your state, your station. Get breaking news, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Sponsored by Hackensack Meridian Health.
8:22 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill Spitty is back next Wednesday. Still waiting to take off from Newark Airport to go see his daughter in London. This wilding situation at Pier Village in Long Branch, involving teens and young adults that had taken a train in from North Jersey. They knew where they were coming from pretty quickly, and they started delaying the trains so that no more would arrive. And we've had this discussion multiple times. There is legislation that has been passed and new regulations that make it easier for police to arrest these teens and these young adults. To, in some cases, though I think it's a joke, try to hold parents responsible for that. And, you know, it comes down to, I do believe it's a parenting issue. If your kids are taken off and you don't know where they are and you don't know what they're doing, that's a problem. And I have suggested on multiple occasions, and I believe it now more than ever, that you don't just arrest the kid, especially if you're talking about a juvenile. If you're a young adult, you're old enough to know better. You should endure the full faith and punishment of the law if you're arrested, if you're of age, if you're 18 or older. If you are younger than 18, you arrest the kid, you arrest the parent. They spend a night in jail in the same jail cell because apparently you're not connecting with your kid. You're not having a conversation. But I bet you there's a conversation going on in that jail cell overnight. And I think that solves the issue for many, literally, overnight. Arrest the kid. Arrest the parent. You're going to spend a night in jail together. Work it out. Melanie in Asbury Park, you're on New Jersey 101.5. What do you think's at the heart of this matter, Melanie?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I think that the issue is actually something that deals with social media. You know, it's been proven scientifically that humans under the age of 25 don't have fully developed brains. Their emotional intelligence isn't fully there. They're reactive and, you know, they're kind of running their place in the world. That being said, there's no real rail guards on social media to stop these flash mobs from occurring. And once the flash mobs happen, these children get so much validation from the likes and engagement that they get on social media that it continues. I think that they need to put more safety. They need to put more rail guards on social media so that children can't organize these things to happen anymore.
Well, Melanie, you're right that that is part of the problem, and that's how this spreads. And that's why when we were talking to Police Chief Tommy Boyd about this, they have a dedicated division in their detective room that does nothing but scour social media looking for the types of things that you're talking about. Now, the whole idea of making sure that there are guardrails and there are protections and, you know, all of these other things on social media to protect our kids, those are all good things. But ultimately, whether it's being spread on social media, this is an issue of parenting. And yeah, I think it's either, and I don't want to even say it's necessarily bad parenting. It's absentee parenting. It's a lack of parenting. You know, look at the carnivals and church festivities that have had to be canceled because you had bands of wilding teens who took an Uber to the carnival or the fair. You know, here you had train loads of kids coming in from North Jersey. I say you go get the parent, you get the kid, and you shut them up in a cell overnight. Tony and Brick, you're on New Jersey 101.5. What's your suggestion of punishment here, Tony?
I think it's pretty simple. I think if they're under the age of 17 and they go get involved with this wilding where they're disturbing, you suspend their license until they're 18. They're not allowed to get their license till 18. Because would you want someone that acts like that driving a car at 17? And if they're 18 years old in that range, it would be like drunk driving. You lose your license for 6 months when you want to act like that, because you've created a dangerous situation, not only for the general public, but for the police. It's just a snowballing effect of the disaster you're creating.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt about that, Tony. And I'm a believer in the suspended license. And in some cases, I know that happens. But keep in mind, these kids aren't driving there. These kids are taking the train. They're taking an Uber. They're getting together and carpooling, that type of thing. That doesn't solve the parenting issue. But I'll tell you what, if I acted up as a kid and the cops came and grabbed my dad and said, you're going to jail for a night with your kid because your kid did this, there would be conversations that happen behind bars. And I think that's what needs to happen here. What about you? 1-800-283-1015. Coming up in 3 minutes, Jen will give us an update on news, weather, and traffic, including what's making the bald eagles sick in North Jersey. Those details, then more on what to do with wilding teens. 8:27 is the time. Good morning. 8:38 on New Jersey 101.5 on this Thursday morning in the Great Garden State. How you doing, everybody? I'm Eric Scott. Bill is, do we know if he took off yet? He still has not taken off.
He is still on.
He just texted.
The plane. That's
see the latest
worst
one?
Part is that he's in the plane. So, like, that's why he can't call us, because he said, I don't want to annoy
see
these
his
people.
Latest text, Jill?
Yeah.
Oh, slowly
yeah.
Backing away from the gate.
They're pushing back. Yeah, so.
So they're 38 minutes delayed so far.
Well, 38 on top of yesterday, 5 p.m.
Yeah, so. Well, but he wasn't scheduled to leave until 8, right? Wasn't the flight out at 8 o'clock last night?
I thought, well,
I'm
no.
Texting. What
they,
was your
they, got, they pushed the flight to 8 a.m. this morning.
No, I thought he was supposed to leave at 8 last night. I don't know. Anyway.
He got to the airport at 5 p.m.
Yeah, well, then, so, yeah, the 3 hours before an international flight, so that would have been 8. So now you're at 12, almost 13 hours, plus a 7 or 8 hour flight. And I'm telling you, that's 21 hours total. You could have flown to Australia.
Or you drive across the country.
Man. Sorry, Bill. Good luck to you, man. It is 8:39 on New Jersey 101.5. All right. What should be done with these wilding teens in Long Branch at Pier Village? What should, if you're a young adult, if you're 18 or over, you charge them as an adult. Well, they are adults. But if you are 17 or younger, my solution is simply this. You arrest the parent. You arrest the kid. You put them in jail overnight. Because I don't think this is bad parenting. I think it's lack of parenting. I think it's absentee parenting. I guarantee you there's conversations that are going to happen in that jail cell overnight that are going to address that problem. Greg in Cream Ridge, you're on New Jersey 101.5. You would punish parents as well?
Eric, arrest the kids, fine the parents $5,000, and if they don't pay within 30 days, take away their mode of transportation to work. The only thing these animals understand is being penalized from money. Jail doesn't mean anything to them. Parents doing whatever they're going to do to them, that doesn't matter. It's money, money, money. Take it all away.
I'm with you, Greg, and I understand why you feel that way. I disagree with your classification of animals, because a lot of the, you know, that's just not accurate in the majority of these cases. And I've thought about this a lot. I've had a lot of time to think about it because of the number of incidents. You know, the argument is going to be you jail the parent during the day, it's going to cost them money at work. Okay. I would imagine a majority of these parents probably can't afford $5,000. So then what is the better solution? Overnight in jail, still can make it to work in the morning. Overnight in jail is going to cause you to have a conversation with your kid. Is it going to work in every case? No. but you are doing at least something to get the parent and the kid together to have a conversation, because those conversations aren't happening at home. You want to bring in a parental counselor for that time? I even be open to that. But I do believe the parents have to be held responsible, but not in a way that further disrupts the family environment at home. Does that make sense to you? I'm trying to be sensitive to both, but still have a punitive enough action that elevates the level of the crime, but also opens a line of communication that clearly doesn't exist. Tom, you're calling in from Vero Beach, Florida. What do you think about this?
Hey, good morning from the beautiful free state of Florida.
Yes, we're all jealous, Tom. Don't rub it in.
My thing is, anyone, and I got to bring the age down, anyone 16 or older that gets arrested, you know, whether they're fighting, destroying property, what have you, automatically 4 years in the military. Take it that way, mom and dad know where they're at for the next 4 years. Trust me, you do this one or two times, the problem will go away overnight.
Well, I mean, look, they haven't done that in a long time, Tom. I'll be honest. One of my brothers got into trouble, and he had a choice. You're going to go into the military or you're going to jail. And guess which one he picked? And it did straighten him out. And wound up having a really big life change. I wish that were still an option, because I do think that in many cases, you know, these kids, and they're kids. They don't process things the same way that adults do. William in PA, you're on New Jersey 101.5. Yeah, we definitely do have an angry younger generation, William, no doubt.
Hey, good morning. So I think the biggest problem that we have here is the age gap between who's seeing what's going on and the kids that are actually doing it. When we look at society in general, we start seeing these kids act out when certain things are happening in the general public. These kids, if you ask them, if you look at them and you talk to these kids, they don't have any faith in the future. They don't have any faith in what's going on in America right now. They've lost faith in the American dream. So what we're looking at, we're looking at kids that have just lost all hope for what their future is. And now we're holding them responsible while we're the cause for it. Our generation is the cause for these kids acting this way. And now we're trying to discipline them because they're acting out according to what we're putting them through.
I don't know, William. I understand where you're trying to come from on that, but I just don't know that I can follow you in that direction. Was it any different in the 70s when there was strife? Was there any difference in the 80s? Maybe slightly in the 80s. I think you're overthinking it at that point. Every generation has had its own struggles and its own issues and its own truth to power and fight the system and all. I mean, that is just natural as part of a young brain that wants to challenge the system. But when it degenerates into violence and unacceptable and dangerous behavior, where you're jumping on cars and you're destroying property and you're causing a large law enforcement response, then you have an issue. And it's more than, you know, whether it's faith or not in the future, because we're talking about things that are happening now. And if you want to change that, then you have to instill a sense of responsibility. And that's what I think is lacking, is that idea that you have a sense of responsibility to be civil in society and not destructive and not disrespectful. It's 8:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Enrico and Joey, hang on. I got a break here for weather and traffic. I'll take your calls before the top of the hour on New Jersey 101.5. It's 8:45. Good morning.
For the best of New Jersey, live hosts and timely traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Tune into New Jersey 101.5.
8:53 on New Jersey 101.5. Holding parents responsible for wilding teens in New Jersey. What's your solution? Mine is jail the parent and the kid overnight. Make them have a conversation. Joey in Flemington, you're on New Jersey 101.5. You with me on this idea, Joey?
Hey, good morning, Eric. Absolutely. And not to make light of this, this is a serious issue. Like, you're potentially inciting a riot.
Yes.
All right? People can die.
Yep.
And yes, the parent should be jailed. There should be impound fee for the kid. Like, if they tow your car at night, you want to get it out in the morning? $300.
So you've impounded the child. They don't get out of jail till you pay the impound fee?
100%. Yeah, something like the other caller said, like, no, you can't make it $5,000. That's not feasible. But yes, the parent will be responsible to pay something if the kid is under 18. And they should have to do some sort of mandatory community service. Like,
well, I agree with that. Yeah. Yep. I have done that in the past with my kids. Look, my oldest, you know, was he wasn't a bad kid. He sometimes made bad decisions. And I remember one time I called up the town because we have a small lake. It's really a pond in Lawrenceville. And I said, listen, you know, I'm trying to teach this kid a lesson. Can he come pick up garbage for a day, you know, or an afternoon around the park? And they were like, sure, absolutely. So, you know, I got the little grabbers and a garbage bag, and I drove my son, and he was, I think he was 14 at the time. I drove him to Colonial Lake, and I was like, everywhere you see a piece of trash, pick it up, put it in the bag. That's your punishment. That wasn't court-ordered. That was dad-ordered. And, look, it made a difference. And part of the reason, and I stayed with him, by the way. I didn't touch any of the trash. He did. But as we did that, we walked, and we talked, and we had a conversation, and I think it made an impact. That's why I'm suggesting, you know, you put these kids with their parent in jail overnight. They're talking to one another. What do you think? Let's continue this conversation after we get an update on news, weather, and traffic with Jen. The Keyport Cancer Cluster. When can local residents expect some answers? Jen has that in 3 minutes, and then more with you. It's 8:55. Good morning.
Fun, laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5.
Parks Casino, New Jersey. Chime time is 9:08 on a Thursday morning in the Great Garden State. I'm Eric Scott. All right, Bill Spadia update. Took off just before 9 o'clock. 6.5 hours to go after a 12-plus hour delay. Wow. Godspeed, Mr. Spadia. He will be back next Wednesday. You got me for the rest of the day today on Friday. Monday, we're all off. I'll be with you Tuesday, and then Bill will be back. I'm sure we'll have all of the details of the story. We tried to get him on the air a couple of times, but the one time that he was actually free, still in the airport, he was on hold with United Airlines, which, look, I wouldn't wish this ordeal on my worst enemy. So hopefully Bill has a restful flight for the next 6.5 hours. All right, we're talking about wilding teens, all growing out of this issue in Long Branch, where you had these kids from North Jersey that were taking the train down. They descended on Pier Village. Strong law enforcement response. Fights, jumping on cars, multiple arrests. I think you can solve this problem overnight. You arrest the kid, you arrest the parent, you put him in jail overnight. Couple of thoughts on the app chat I want to share with you. A couple of you have expressed concern that you might want to have them in side-by-side cells so the parent doesn't strangle the kid. Yeah, I would agree. I would be terrified. If it were me, I'd be terrified of being in a jail cell with my dad as a kid, because he would. You know, there'd be nothing left but a stain on the floor by the time he was done with me. And you know what? That's part of the problem. Enrico in Middlesex, you're on New Jersey 101.5. Thanks for hanging on, Enrico. Tell me about your family day idea, because I think I might like this.
Oh, thank you, Eric. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Okay. Well, you know, I've been going to a country for over 20 years on vacation, and I've never seen a problem. It seems that when we get down there, it's on the weekend, and they have what they call a family day in that island. The problems that I think we're seeing right now with these wilding kids is that they're, to put it mildly, they're stupid. and that's the result of activity in their past, I don't think their family has been connected with them. And in fact, I think the demise of the family is the reason for all this. The country that I go to is Aruba, and every week there's one day when all the stores are shut down, or many of the stores, for the purpose of having a family day every week in Aruba. And I've never seen a problem from the Aruban people.
Well, I mean, you're talking a different country, different culture, Enrico. I like the idea in theory. And look, this is one of the reasons why I have always advocated you getting involved in your local town. I loved taking my kids when they were little, whether we had a little street fair in town. Every year they did a bike rodeo where we would ride our bicycles to an area where they had kind of a picnic area set up. The police would do safety inspections of your bicycles. Those types of things. You know, you have local towns do concerts in the park, or, you know, they do a Christmas stroll or things like that, or parades or that. Do it in your local town. If you've got a local church fair or something like that, you know, get your kids involved in that. Now, that's not possible everywhere. The economic and socioeconomic and geographic diversity, the Garden State, is one of the things that makes us such an amazing place to live. But I don't know if that's possible all the time. And I don't know that necessarily you have family dynamics that would do that. And when you're talking about cities, if you're talking about Jersey City or Newark or Patterson or the Oranges, I don't know that you're going to have that, right? I think there is a disconnect in some of these communities between the parents and their kids. And I will be honest with you, I can't relate to that, because that wasn't the environment that I grew up in. That wasn't the environment that my kids grew up in. And my sons have said to me on multiple occasions, I didn't realize, Dad, that we were, and I'm using air quotes here, that we were privileged growing up. And by that, what they mean is they had a safe home. Their parents had good jobs. They always had enough food to eat. They always had, a warm home and a safe space. And a lot of families, unfortunately, don't have that in New Jersey. And you're going to see that number increase as we continue to deal with this affordability crisis. But I think until you address the socioeconomic issues in some of these homes, and a lot of you have commented, like Mike in Oceangate just dropped me an app chat too, you know, there may not be fathers in these homes. I get that. I understand that. Why are we not addressing those issues? But some of this is about accountability, holding the parent accountable, holding the child accountable. And that means the child can hold the parent accountable and the parent can hold the child accountable, because it does have to go both ways. And those are issues in a lot of these family dynamics that we have to address. And we simply, for whatever reason, refuse to, A, acknowledge that it exists. And if we can't acknowledge that it will exist, that it exists, we can't address it as an issue. Because somehow it becomes then, well, it's an issue of race. It's not an issue of race. It's a socioeconomic struggle that a lot of these families are having that we as a society should address. But we don't want to talk about what that real problem is. And so the problem only gets worse. My solution here at least gives you an opportunity to put parent and child, whether it's father and child or mother and child or guardian and child, together to have a conversation. Because that's not happening at home right now. Thoughts? 1-800-283-1015. 9:15 is our time. Oh, a lot of you on the app chat asking me for my French onion soup recipe, what I'm going to be making on Saturday. I will tell you that in the final segment of this hour. So figure around 9:50, right? I'll run through. It's a very simple, easy recipe, and you're going to love it. What to do with wilding teens and their parents. 1-800-283-1015. After New Jersey Fast Traffic in 3 minutes.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
All right. 922, it is on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill Spadia in the air, bound for London after about a 13-hour delay. Could you survive 13 hours in an airport? Three of them stranded in a plane on the runway? Yikes. Can't wait to hear that story when he comes back next Wednesday. We're wrapping up this conversation about what to do with wilding teens that descended on Pier Village. This is, I think it's a harbinger of some of what's coming this summer. We're going to see it up and down the shore again. These are not kids that are from Long Branch. They came in by train from North Jersey, according to investigators. I've suggested that one of the easiest ways to fix this problem, you can fix some of it overnight. If you take the parent and you take the child and you put them in a jail cell overnight, there'll be conversations that happen in that jail cell that certainly aren't happening at home. Lisa in Woodbridge, you've got an issue with something that I said. What is it? Lisa? Hello, Lisa. I wanted to give you an opportunity to take issue with what I said. All right, Lisa's gone. It is 9:23 now on New Jersey 101.5. And look, a lot of you have made some great comments on the app chat. You know, what if there isn't a father in the area? What if there is, you know, what if this person doesn't have a stable family? Well, I think that's part of the issue. And one of the issues that happens is the parent and child obviously aren't having a conversation. They're certainly not talking about responsibility. And I think sometimes that's what it comes down to ultimately, is responsibility and respect. And somewhere along the line, we decided that it was better for us to be our child's friend than our child's parent. And in the everybody gets a trophy generation, we started to lose that sense of responsibility. And, you know, as a child of the 80s, you know, look, we had a lot of rain. A lot of us were latchkey kids. You know, I was. My parents were running a restaurant at that time. So if I was getting off the bus, you know, going into the house, there was nobody there. And then it was my job to go in and change into my quote-unquote work clothes, ride my bike downtown, and go to work at the restaurant. And you didn't think anything of it. I mean, there were sometimes, there were days that would go by that I wouldn't have a parent at home when I was in the house. As young as, I want to say, 13, 14, my dad was gone and my mom was gone, and I was the only one in the house, and I had to get myself up and ready for the bus. My mother, who was a school bus driver at that time, because she did that to make a little extra money, she would drive. She was not my school bus driver, but she would drive her bus past the house. And I knew what time she was coming by, and I had to be standing on the front porch when she drove by. And if not, I got in trouble. Now, of course, we didn't have cell phones, so it wasn't like she was calling. But if I wasn't there, she would stop and she would honk her horn, and then I would go running out the front door. I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. So that she knew I was up and ready to go to school. Penny in Mount Laurel, you're on New Jersey 101.5. Oh, I like your idea. Boot camp.
Yeah, you know, my mother always said that when we were younger, that these kids, they don't have, when the parent can't be a responsible adult and teach their child right from wrong, then that's when us as other adults need to step in and send these wild out teenagers into a boot camp. Absolutely. Something needs to straighten them out. And I'm all for public shaming. I get that we don't publish the minors' names. But if there is a parent or a guardian, they need to be publicly shamed for their abhorrent behavior.
Yeah, Penny, you bring up a very interesting point here, and one that I hadn't really considered until you raised it. A lot of this centers around social media, right? So they're looking for the likes, they're looking for the views, they want that viral moment, so they try to create that for this fake social media profile that they have, or this fantasy profile that they have. So obviously, what other people think and are viewing about you is incredibly important. Now you take that the opposite way and you shame them in the town square or on the street corner, and that might have a bigger impact than anything else we've talked about this morning, because clearly image and reputation means everything. It is 927 on New Jersey 101.5. What a horrible story. Who abandoned this dog in North Jersey? And if you know who it was, there could be some money in it for you. Jen has news, weather, and traffic coming up in 3 minutes, and then more of your calls on New Jersey 101.5. It's 927. Good morning. Z 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. So, Joel, what are you doing for the weekend if it's a rainout? You guys weren't heading down the shore, were you?
No. We have birthday parties that will be moved indoors, but tomorrow night I have Americana Diner, which is not really a diner anymore. You know that food.
Yeah, yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, that's great.
There's going to be stand-up comedy, and then there's a DJ afterwards, so I am really
And which
psyched.
One are you doing? Are you doing the DJ or the comedy?
I could go for both, but right. No, I'm hosting.
Okay.
So the comedians...
Now, when you host, you get to do a little mini set, right?
It's nice. I only have to do 5 minutes.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it does make it easier.
That's pretty cool. And yeah, what time is that?
So that's at 7 p.m.
Okay.
That the doors open. And I'm psyched. And it's a Bollywood DJ.
Bollywood DJ.
Right? A little something different. A little spicy.
Wow. I didn't know anything about it.
I think
so,
you and Sandra should be there.
Well, I will tell you. So one New Year, we do a big New Year's Eve party at our house every year. And my one neighbor, Vishali, she and her husband, Roshan, they came 1 year. And Vishali said to me, she goes, do you mind if I take over the stereo system? And I said, sure, go ahead.
And turn off the Yacht Rock? I cannot believe this
happened.
She turned
the Yacht Rock off and brought Bollywood. It was one of the more raucous parties we ever had. I mean, it was, they were doing the, awesome. What do they call it, the train? Is that when everybody kind of holds on to everybody?
Yeah, conga line.
Right? So they were doing, we had conga line going through the whole first floor. Everybody was dancing, and it was hysterical. And people were like, what's this music? We've never heard it before. And she had her Bollywood playlist out, and it was an awesome party.
It's fun. You know, Zumba, I do Zumba a couple times a week, and there's usually a few songs in the Zumba class that are Bollywood tracks. And it's fun.
All right. Well, have fun at the Americana
Diner.
How
about you?
Friday is usually a martini night, you know, because I'll make dinner at home.
Relax.
Sandra says there's nothing better than walking in the door and hearing the sound of a shaker. I'll have her Cosmo ready to go when she walks in the door on Friday. And then Saturday, we're treating it like a snowstorm because I'm going to cook all day.
That's great. I was actually psyched last night.
Yeah.
I really wanted to turn on the fireplace.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we'll go that far. For those of you who have asked about my French onion soup recipe, after traffic and weather coming up, I'll give you that recipe and my best tips to making the best French onion soup.
Yeah.
But I've got, Sandra's going to make her mom's mushroom gravy. I have an eye round roast beef. I have
plants.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm going to do...
Gravy. Yeah. I love it. There's actually a mushroom gravy. It sounds very...
It's really good.
Autumnal and holiday season.
Exactly. Well, it's not going to be warm. I mean, it's not like we're going to be outside grilling.
Awesome.
So that's our plan for the weekend, is we're just going to hunker down on Saturday a snowstorm, and I'm going to cook all day.
That is great.
Yeah, and there might be wine consumed. I mean, you never know. It could be. We're not driving anywhere. So it is 941 on New Jersey 101.5. Let me just wrap up with some of your comments here on the app chat. And look, I get it. When you're dealing with issues like we saw at Pier Village, and you have the fear that you're going to deal with more of these up and down the shore again, it is, you can call it bad parenting. I don't believe in bad parenting. I think it's absentee parenting. Might also be ignorant parenting too, right? But you have a disconnect, obviously, in a lot of these cases between parent and child. Because whether it's been, you know, the fairs in Delran and other parts of South Jersey that had to be canceled because kids were taking Ubers from out of town, or you had instances like Pier Village where kids were coming in from North Jersey on the train, there has to be a reconnection and realization that there is a problem between parent and child. And we refuse, in many cases, to address that. And a lot of you, and you know, like Betsy in Millstone makes a really good point. She goes, many parents are on top of their kids. They do their due diligence, and the kids still do crazy things. That is true. I experienced that with my older son. But I think that's the exception rather than the rule. And look, we're not going to be able to go back to, you know, yesteryear in the 70s and the 80s. Mike in Cream Ridge wrote, in the 70s, I got arrested for disorderly conduct, went in front of a judge the next day, was told I could pay a $50 fine or 15 days in jail. I wound up spending 10 days in what was Seaside's jail and learned lessons that made sure that that behavior never happened again. And I do think that that is a component that is missing, is holding people accountable for their actions. And I think as we've tried to reform, and I'm using air quotes, the juvenile justice system, we've lost that part of the process, is that there is no accountability. There's no accountability at home. There's no accountability in society. And, I mean, I've told this story on the air before. You know, I grew up in a small farm town. If you got in trouble, we had two police cars in town. You knew who the cops were. They drank at my parents' bar. They would come and they would pick you up. Officer Bolt would come and get you. He would handcuff you and he put you in the back of his car. And he would be driving you around to take you home. And Officer Bolt would then yell, oh, look out for that rabbit. And he'd slam on the brakes. And you would face plant into the cage that separated the passenger from the driver in the back of the police car. And that was your corrective action. And you could always tell in school the next day which kids Officer Bolt took home because they had waffle marks on the side of their face. But that was better than I'm going to tell your father, because you would avoid that at all costs. Was it a better way? I don't know. Could you do it today? Probably not, because there's cameras everywhere and then there'd be lawsuits. And then, but was it effective? Hell yeah, it was effective. 9:45 on New Jersey 101.5, my French onion soup recipe. After an update of weather and traffic in 3 minutes, New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Get the latest traffic, weather, and local news with New Jersey 101.5, keeping you informed on all things Jersey.
9:52 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill will be back next Wednesday. He is finally off to London after about a 13-hour delay. All right, so I mentioned that one of the things I'm going to be making Saturday is my French onion soup, and a lot of you on the app chat have asked for the recipe. So here it is, and it's really a simple recipe, and I'm going to give you two tips that are going to make your soup that much better. We're going to start with some very thinly sliced onions, about 3 pounds of onions. It'll give you about 8 cups of onion. Then you're going to use about a tablespoon of butter and 2 or 3 tablespoons of olive oil in a Dutch oven over medium heat. And put your onions into that Dutch oven. And you're going to cook until those onions start to soften. Now, a lot of people will make this with thinly sliced onions that give you, you know, basically that half moon onion shape. I go further than that, and I don't dice them, but I cut that half moon in half or sometimes in thirds. The reason I do that is, A, it's more surface area for caramelization, and B, it's a little bit easier in your soup to get a spoonful of onions in that delicious broth. And otherwise, you have that stringy onion that's going to fall off of your spoon. Trust me, give it a little bit of an additional chop on that. Now, you're going to cook that 10 to 15 minutes and then see what it looks like. If the onions have not started to caramelize, and that means get really caramel dark brown and then almost thick, keep cooking. And when in doubt, cook it even longer. That could take you as long as 30 minutes, maybe as little as 15. Then you're going to reduce the heat to about medium low. Throw in some minced garlic, about 4 to 6 cups of beef stock or beef broth. You can buy it in the cartons. It would be about 2 cartons. I make my own stock, but if you're talking about 2 cartons, salt and pepper to taste. And then I would add in, or I finish it with about 1/2 cup of port wine. You can also use some dry sherry in that as well. And then let it go low and slow for, you know, another couple of hours. And you will get this rich, savory broth. Now, if you want to put herbs in there, you could put in a little bit of rosemary. You could put in some thyme. You could put in a bay leaf. It depends on what you want. And then to finish it, you just put it in your crock. You take a toasted French bread baguette. I melt some Gruyere cheese under the broiler, and boom, there you go. There's your French onion soup. Smells great, tastes great, freezes great. Make a big batch so you can reserve some. And if you missed it, I'm sure we'll talk about it again tomorrow because there'll be a lot of food talk heading into the Memorial weekend. All right, we got EJ and Judy coming up next, 4 minutes away after we get an update of news, weather, and traffic. It is 9:55. Have a great day.